I'm Catherine. Welcome to Trailhead Church, and thank you for spending part of your weekend with us. In just a few minutes, the band will be out to lead us in worship. Then one of our pastors will share a message. Altogether, we'll be together a little over an hour this morning. If you're new this morning, we're honored that you've chosen to join us, and we'd love to get to know you. The easiest way to get connected is to complete our online connected card. It only takes a minute, and it's the best way to become part of the Trailhead community. Just visit trailhead.church/connect or text the word connect to 833-209-7295. If you're with us in person, stop by our info desk and meet one of our friendly greeters and receive a gift on your way out. Just a couple of quick reminders before we get started. If you have chosen to keep your kiddos in service with you today and you'd like a more private space to comfort or nurse your child, we have calming spaces available where you can continue to watch this service. Just ask one of our volunteers to show you the way. If you want to stay up to date on everything happening around Trailhead, you're going to want to download the Trailhead Church app. You'll be able to find message notes for today's sermon, see all our upcoming events, communicate with your study group, and catch up on messages you may have missed. You can even sign up to receive specific notifications based on your interests. Just search for Trailhead Church in your app store. Thanks again for being with us this weekend. Grab a seat and let's get ready for worship.
Good morning, good morning. Welcome out to Trailhead Church. Let's go and stand to our feet. Oh, we got quiet. Man, it's a good day to be in the house of the Lord, amen. Hey, it's a good day to be in the house of the Lord, amen. Come on, he's so good, he's so faithful. Let's just start off with some prayer. Father, we thank you. Yeah, we love you, Lord. We give you our hearts. We've come to just pour out our worship at your feet and surrender ourselves to you, Jesus. You're why we're here. Yeah, Holy Spirit, so we give you the room, we give you ourselves. Yeah, we magnify your name. Magnify your name. Jesus' name. Amen.
Your mercy never fails me. All my days I've been held in your hands. From the moment that I wake up till I lay my head, I have lived in the goodness of God. Thank you. this night. You are close like no other.
Yeah.
I've known you as a father. I've known you as a friend. And I have been in the goodness of God.
For you, church. Come on, that's good news. He's for you. He's not against you. Nothing can stand against you. Come on, sing, my God is for me. Yeah, my God is for me. Jesus is for me.
You are good, you're good and whole. 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 'Cause you are good. Darkness, my God, that is who you are.
you are. Waymake, miracle work, promise keep, light in the darkness, my God, that is who you are. You never stop working. Even when I don't see it, you're working. Even when I don't feel it, you're working. You never stop working. You never stop. Even when I don't see it, you're working. Even when I don't feel it, you're working.
Never stop.
Light in the darkness, my God, that is who you are. Cause you way make miracle work. Promise keep. Light in the darkness, my God, that is who you are.
Yes, it's who you are. It's who you are. Yeah, you're my God. To you. Yeah, I cling to the giver of life, the healer, yeah, the one who's come to save, deliver, set free, yeah, make us whole. Oh, you're so worthy. You're so worthy. You're so worthy, Jesus. Take a moment just to thank him. Come on, write down your own words.
Oh, we thank you, Jesus. Oh, we thank you, Jesus. And we cry, holy, holy, holy. We cry, holy, 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 and we cry, holy, holy, O Israel.
Time together, Lord, to be in your presence, to make your name known. God, we thank you, Lord, that this is a house, Lord, that you are welcome to fill. Lord, that you can come in, Lord, and just, Lord, that you can take care of every need in this place. Lord, that we can lay them at your feet. Lord, we thank you, God, that you see us, Lord, in a way that some of us, we can't even see ourselves, but God, knowing that you love us. Lord, knowing that you see, Lord, through some of the muck, Lord, some of the abandonment, the heartaches, the hurt, God, you see right through all of that. Lord, you see exactly who we are. And God, that you love us. Lord, that you truly love us. And God, we thank you for that. God, we thank you, Lord. Lord, that this is a house of restoration, a house of healing. God, we thank you, Lord, for signs, miracles, and wonders. God, we thank you, Lord, that you are evident today. God, we praise you. Lord, we honor you in this house. You are welcomed here. God, we thank you for that. God, we praise you. Lord, we honor you. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. Well, love on your neighbor. Tell them they look good this morning. Give them a high five, a hug, a fist bump. Whatever it is, make them feel welcomed. You guys can have a seat. I want to welcome everyone that's tuned in online this morning and watching. We're so blessed to have you. We know that at the house right now, maybe you got a couple sick ones in your house, you know. We have a few people this morning telling us, oh, man, my child was up all night long. We've heard it already. Well, hey, listen, I just believe right now in your house, it's a house of healing. And so you take authority over those sicknesses right now. That's what the Word of God tells us to do it, so you do it. So I would encourage you to pray over your little ones and receive that healing in your house, all right? If you're watching from afar, man, we're so blessed that you are tuned in. Buy a plane ticket, come visit. We'd love to see your pretty face, all right? For all of you that are here today and you are new, I'm so thankful that you came out and you joined us today. I was with some guys yesterday. We had a beautiful wedding here yesterday. Aaron and Kelly Dabbs, they were married there, and they had some friends, and it was funny. I got to talk to some of their friends, and one of their friends, I said, man, I love this church. And I was like, well, you haven't even been here on a Sunday. And he said, well, I don't know. It's just something about the lobby. I love being in the lobby because it's just open. You know how you go into churches? This is him talking. You know how you go into churches and then it just seems like they're just all over you. I go, keep talking. He goes, you know, they're like, hey, 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 you new? Hey, hey. And so he said, here, I feel like you could get, you could hide. I go, wow. Tomorrow morning, we have our staff meeting every Monday. This will be a conversation that we will have in our staff meeting tomorrow. But the question is what is too much or too little? And we've always asked that question of anybody who's coming that's new or visiting. And we've always chuckled. And I finally came to that. I'm not going against what this individual had said. I see every angle. So if you are new today, you're like, oh, man. Don't worry. We have in this church, we've gotten rid of the tradition to ask you to stand up and give a testimony if this is your first time. If you grew up in the church, you know what I'm talking about. So don't worry. We've taken that out of this house right here. But I've always said I want to love people so much that they want to complain about it. That if they go to work tomorrow and they go, you won't believe this church. Man, they came up to me and they told me that they were excited that I was here. And then I got to come in this church service and people were high-fiving me and fist bumping. And then at the end, I had someone, they called me this week, they sent me a letter. They were too invasive. And I thought, I love the fact that someone would be a little overwhelmed with too much of someone caring for them. So I thought I'd rather have that than someone going, this church didn't care about me at all. I walked in, no one said hi to me. If you walked in this morning and no one said hi to you, I apologize. That, who knows the reason? Maybe you showed up a little extra early today or something of the sort, but I'm telling you hi, and I would encourage you that to stick around and find out more about the church. Ask questions. Go over here to our middle desk area and find out more about the church, because we want to get to know you. We want to find out more about you and who you are. We believe that everyone has a story in this house, and we want to know that story. Everybody's got something different going on, and we want to hear what God's doing in your life and what you need God to do in your life, and we want to come in agreement with that. And so I'm excited when you come and visit us. So it is awesome to see you here at Trailhead. And so we're blessed to have you. So, by the way, I'm Josh. I'm the pastor of the church. So let me introduce myself, because some people are like, who's that guy talking? I'm Josh. I'm the pastor. And along with my wife, Anna, we're here for you. You know, this is one of those things, you've got to know that this is your place called there. And that's what it's all about. That place where you can come in and, man, you can sow, you can put some roots into the house of the Lord. You can get to be a part of community and ironing, sharpening. Iron, and I mean, it's just a good thing. I said ironing, by the way. Iron, sharpen, iron. Man, this is a place. This is a place where God resides. And I'm proud of that. I'm proud of this is a place where you can come and be restored and healed and whole. And you can find people, good people, that really want to see you succeed and thrive with the Word of God. And that's what this house is about. So if you do want to hide when you come in the lobby, by all means, you can hide. But if you want to get to know people, then you can get to know people. This is a place for you. So don't allow the enemy to come in and steal, kill, and destroy. Because that's what the enemy wants to do. The enemy wants to tell you that, well, this place, that they didn't do this, or they didn't have that, or I'm not used to this weird traditional thing, or non-traditional thing, or, oh my gosh, this guy doesn't have a suit and tie on. I don't know what you like. But I don't know if we're going to find all of those likes. But what I do know is God is good enough. And he's here, and I know that for a fact. So anyway, with that said, it's offering time. Hey, here at this house, we love to worship God. And now, here, let me give you a perspective of why we give. A lot of people just think, oh, here goes again, the church, they receive an offering. Why are we giving? Well, we give so that we can have a further reach. We want to reach more people for the kingdom of God. When I reflect all throughout the Gospels, Matthew and Mark particularly, I mean, Luke and John obviously, but when I reflect into those books, I can see that Jesus, his thinking was about people in every aspect. When he tells, you know, Peter, hey, I'm going to make you a fisher of men, he's thinking about people. He's seeing the potential of people. He knows what they can do. He loves them. He cares for them. I mean, all the way to the point when he's on the cross, he's caring for his mother, Mary, by telling Mary, hey, here's John. And John, here's Mary. And I want you to take care of her. And Mary, I want you to take care of him. And he's hanging on the cross, and he's talking this way. He's caring about the individual that's also on the cross beside him. He's always caring about people. And so we at this church, we care about people. And money is not the root of evil. It's the love of money is the root of evil. So we're able to use money in a way to help grow the kingdom here on this earth. And God's our provider in that. So when we receive an offering, that offering is going towards reaching more people in every way. Vision takes money. And so there's some big vision here at this church. We had people in the very beginning, they told me, they said, why would you buy a warehouse? I said, because God told us to buy a warehouse. And why would he do that? And I go, I don't know. There's a lot of mysterious things that God does. And I have no idea, but he told us to do it. But that individual yesterday tells me, he says, man, I love this church. It's different. I feel welcomed when I come in. And I said, well, you haven't even been here on a Sunday. And I think about that God's got a different way of doing things. And there's vision that's big. God has some big vision for this church, bigger than just having church on a Sunday. And so, you know, he's just putting things in each one of our hearts that's just going to continue to see growth and continue to see overflow time and time again. And so I want to encourage you that you don't put limitations on God. God does not care about the amount of money. God does not care about the amount of what's in your bank account or what's not in your bank account. He does care in general in the sense of he wants to take care of your needs. But many of us get so caught up into the idea of finances. My God cares about people. And whatever it takes, he wants to see people saved. And when you have a stronghold on your life, a stronghold of any sort of addiction, or this is placed before God, God wants those things removed. And he's going to do whatever he can to take those out of your sight so that all you see is him. And so if you have a love of money, then there's a problem. If you have a love of anything that's taking place of God in your life, then this is where you lay it all down at his feet. And he says, come to me, all you are heavy burdened, all of you, come to me. This is a God who loves you. So my encouragement this morning as we receive offering my concern is always that you sit in a place where you say, God, what do you want me to do? How do you want me to give this morning? He tells us through Paul to give regularly, to give sacrificially, and to do it out of a cheerful heart, not grudgingly. And so we shouldn't do it out of compulsion. So in those moments of aligning ourselves with the Word of God, it's opening up His Word to say, God, am I in alignment with how you want me to give? And to see the greater, bigger picture. The greater, bigger picture is to know that, man, God's gonna do something. And He can do something with a mustard seed. He can do something with the widow's mite. He can do something with obedience. Obedience is the key here. And so my encouragement for you this morning is to give through obedience. And not out of this notion of like, oh gosh, we need to correct ourselves. We need to get ourselves aligned with the Word of God. All right? All right. So there's a lot of different ways you can give here. There's electronically, there's boxes on the wall, there's offering envelopes attached to the boxes. So if you need one of those, you can grab one of them. And so as you exit today, you can put your offering in those boxes, okay? All right, I'm gonna pray over the offering, and then we've got some video announcements, then I'm gonna get right into my message this morning. So let's do it, let's pray. So Lord, we thank you. God, we thank you, Lord, that you love us, and Lord, that you see the potential in every one of us. God, that through obedience, Lord, and through faith, Lord, we can step into a new position. Lord, a position of honor. Lord, a position, Lord, that will bring us into a posture, into a placement, Lord, that's pleasing to you. And so, God, I thank you for this. God, I thank you, Lord, that through Trailhead and the vision that you've placed on our hearts, Lord, to reach people from the mountains to the sea and to help people find a better way, God, that every need will be met in order to accomplish this vision and this mission. God, we thank you, Lord, from the small to the tall, Lord, for everybody that's in this church, God, that you are seeing fit, Lord, that their life is prosperous, Lord, that they're the way they're living, Lord, the way that they are breathing and acting, God, that it aligns with your word. And so, God, we thank you for this. God, that you're going to show us how to equip the saints and to become instruments for noble purpose. God, I thank you, Lord, that you are taking us from glory to glory to glory. And, Lord, that we are receiving, Lord, all that you have for us. Lord, we're not going to put limitations on you. Lord, we're not going to put our thoughts, our human, earthly thoughts upon your understanding. God, I thank you right now, Lord, that we are going to believe, Lord, for more than enough. Lord, that we're going to believe for the heavens to open up. And Lord, your glory will be poured out upon us. God, we thank you for this. Lord, we honor you. We praise you. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen.
Karen, here are a few things coming up around Trailhead Church. Remember to download our app and make sure you don't miss the rest of the events happening at Trailhead. Our very own Fellowship Riders Motorcycle Ministry is excited to celebrate their annual Fall Festival outreach serving the families of local low-income neighborhoods on October 31st from 6 to 8 p.m. This year, they're partnering with our outreach team, and we're excited to host the event right here at Trailhead. There will be lots of fun for children and adults alike. There will be bounce houses, carnival games, popcorn, and a motorcycle photo booth. There will also be cars and motorcycles decorated for trunk or treating. And we'd love to have your help to make this the best year ever for lots of kids in our community that may often get overlooked. Plan to attend with your family, sign up to decorate your car for trunk or treat, or volunteer at the event with the Trailhead Outreach Team. Find out more and sign up in the Events tab in the Trailhead app. We're also gearing up for our 14th annual Thanksgiving Basket Outreach. We're excited to do more than ever through our new outreach ministry, The Bridge. This year, our goal is to donate Thanksgiving dinners to 150 families in need. We'll be collecting donations soon, so stay tuned to the Trailhead app for more info coming soon. If you have questions about anything happening at Trailhead, our friendly Next Steps team would love to help. You can find them right in the middle of the lobby at our info desk, or you can always connect with us online.
All right, Trailhead, let's do this. So I've been talking about the spirit, soul, and body a past few weeks here. Obviously, we had a guest speaker. And then next Sunday, I've been asked to minister in Mooresville, North Carolina. Our friends, they had, it's a long story, but they're doing a celebration weekend, and they want Anna and I a part of it because last year, unfortunately, they lost their pastor to a horrific accident, and so they want us to be a part of a celebration to reunite their church and every aspect of family and relationships and all that good stuff. So Pastor Adam will be ministering next Sunday, but I'm going to wrap up my message that I've been talking about throughout the every other week here, it seems, about your spirit, soul, and body. And hopefully we can understand this. And I will do my very best to convey all that's in my head, what God has downloaded in my head according to the scriptures, okay? But for some of us, it's a real gray area of understanding spirit, soul, and body. Your spirit, man, is what's in heaven. Okay, that's what we're taking to heaven with us, all right? Our soul is the way we think, and our body, well, that's who we are. We see the body, and we know this, and we feed this earthly shell. We call it our earth suit, and we feed it with food and smelling things and tasting. Or I just said food and tasting. Clearly, I like to eat, all right? Let's just call it out. But all of that, the touch, feel, smell, that's our earth suit that we have, and a lot of times that outweighs, not a lot of times, all the time, it outweighs our spirit man. So we're directed by our flesh, so that's a sinful way of living that we got to be very careful because it gets us in trouble. So when we become Christians, we become born again, and by being born again, our spirit man is rebirthed, and so we now have a spirit that needs to be in control, all right? And that is by being connected to God himself so that we actually will be directed here on this earth of what we're supposed to be doing. And that's why when Jesus prays the Lord's Prayer, that it's kingdom here on this earth. We need to be kingdom-minded. And so we need to know the authority that Christ has given us so that we can live a life kingdom-minded here on this earth. So all of that to say, I'm gonna break this down better, but I really want us to be aware of the importance of being spirit-led and spirit-guided, because otherwise you can get really trapped in the world. I think for years, decades, centuries, they've been trying to figure out the human mind. The human mind is very complex. I mean, the idea that there's gray matter in our head, and somehow we're able to visually see things in this gray matter and then replicate it out. I mean, through art, through drawings, through design. Vision, I mean, you have a vision for things that will be downloaded in this gray matter, and somehow we can see it and want to see it come to pass. All of that is crazy. And still scientists and psychologists and psychiatrists, everyone's trying to figure this out of how and how is this possible. They'll try to determine it in certain ways, but we know that all of this comes from a creator, and the creator is God himself, and that God, the way he's constructed us is very unique and wonderful. And by going to our creator, we'll have a better understanding. We'll be better equipped for every day by going to him to discover who we are, why we think, how we think. And so that leads me to Romans chapter 12, verse 2. So turn your Bibles there. I'm going to read it in the NIV version, and then I'm going to read it in the NLT version. The only reason why I'm doing that is even though both versions are parallel to one another, it's just a few different words that make some of us go, oh, I understand that. So in Romans chapter 12, verse 2, NIV, it says, "Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you'll be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will." And then in the NLT version, it says, "Don't copy the behavior and customs of this world, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. Then you will learn to know God's will for you, which is good and pleasing and perfect." Last week, our guest minister, Kenneth Estrada, was in. He just texted me this morning and says, "Great!" exclamation point. His son, Ethan, small. He goes, "Great. Ethan, you've warped his brain." That's what he said. I'm thinking, how did I warp his brain? He's now saying that he's going to go to Bible college first, and then he's attending Duke University. That's what he said. He said, great, you've brainwashed my child. And I thought, all I did was just take him to Duke University and show him the greatest basketball team ever to live, right? All of that, I know. All right. All of that to say is there is influence. We know this to be true. I've said this time and time again. If you have little boys in your house, the minute they watch any kung fu movie, it is over. Kung fu happens. Any type of karate, any type of anything, they are going to see how hard they can kick, punch, whatever it is. It's what it is. So when you read Romans 12:2 and you put it in that perspective, then it really enlightens you to go, oh, I get it. Don't copy the behavior and customs of this world. Unbeknownst to you, you do copy these things all the time. We know it to be true. But for us, this is where we've got to know what God has for us. We as Christians, I say for us, meaning Christians, we need to know what God is doing. We need to know this. That means we need to actually lean into God and that time spent with him to say, God, what are you doing? I want to be a part of this. When Isaiah says, here I am, send me. Here I am, send me is something that we all should be saying quite often. God, here I am, send me, meaning what? I'm ready. I want to be equipped. I want to be that individual that you want to use. No holding back. God, I want to be that individual. And so it's going to take a renewed mind. It's going to take individuals that are willing to lean into God and say, all right, I want to change. Renewing your mind according to Romans 12:2 is really interpreting life. It's interpreting life through the lens of God's word. That's it. Simply put, it's interpreting life through God's word. It's seeing it and going, all right, what's God's word have to say about this? I guarantee you, I know for a fact, no matter what you're going through, it's in the Bible. Every aspect of anything, it's in the Bible. The Bible has an answer for it. You open up the word of God and you begin to see, okay, this is what God's word says about it. There's something beautiful about it because when you read the word of God, you can read it one time, and then a year later, you can read the exact same scripture and it's different. There's something about it. It didn't change, but there's something that takes place with it where you go, I've grown. I've changed. Something, maturity has taken place. A maturity of some sort has resonated inside of you. And God says, now I'm going to show you a new perspective, a new picture, a new way of living. And it's beautiful because it's the inspiration of the Holy Spirit that you get to see that connection take place where then, rather seeing the lens of through your experiences, trauma, woundedness, preferences, opinions of others, you begin to see it through God's view and you go, oh. I mean, imagine, and I've said this before a few weeks ago, imagine that moment that Joshua and Caleb in the Old Testament had already seen the types of structures like the wall of Jericho. They were familiar with these types of fortresses and environments. And when the Israelite army comes up to the wall of Jericho, they're like, oh, hey, this is interesting. And then God's response to them is to say, hey, you're going to walk around this wall. That's really a wild concept of battle. To battle a physical wall is to walk around it and just shout at it. It's not going to happen. In the natural, it's not going to happen. Meaning, like, we don't get to just walk around our workplace when everyone stinks every day and you go, you know what, I'm just going to walk around everybody's work desk and then I'm just going to shout at them. It's not going to work, right? They're not going to fall down and be like, I'm so sorry, I'm a jerk. It's not going to happen. So God's going to give you a creative way of doing things. I worked with a bunch of individuals at a bank one time. They were not the nicest people. I actually had a girl I worked with and her name was Stormy. That was her name. She was a little stormy. And I remember thinking, what am I going to do? And I remember asking God, what do I need to do? And I promise you, as dumb as this sounds, I don't mean to say it with contempt, as if what God says is dumb, because I know it comes across that way. But it, in the natural, it sounded crazy to me. God said, bake them cookies. I baked cookies every week. Once a week, I would bake cookies, and I would bring it in for everyone in my work environment. By month 5 or month 6, I was winning people over. People finally were like, hey, that's Josh. Don't mess with him. His snickerdoodles are way too good. Right? But it worked. And I know that sounds crazy. It does. But I remember sitting here going, I hate. You can ask my father. He's not here this morning, but you can ask my father. My father will tell you, oh, yeah, Josh, he hated working there. Because I would come home and be like, I hate it. And I knew something needed to shift. And what did I do? I said, God, how do I tear down this wall? And I heard the word bake. My mom taught me how to bake. Snickerdoodles, no-bake cookies, chocolate chip cookies, all the cookies. And then slowly, things started changing in the atmosphere. So I don't know what that is for you, but I remember knowing I needed to change something in the flesh. So I went to the Spirit to find out how to change what was happening in the flesh. Instead, most people go to the flesh and be like, oh, I'm just going to treat them the way they treat me. Oh, I'm just going to be angry at them all the time. I'm going to treat them with contempt. Flesh against flesh, it's a bad day. That's why when Peter cut off that soldier's sword, I always laugh at that moment. I don't mean to laugh at Peter. But when he cuts off that soldier's ear in the garden, I can just imagine Jesus' face. What's wrong with you? Like, I can imagine him picking up the ear off the ground the whole time, just looking at Peter. Why? Why would you do this? It doesn't do anything. Plus, you're a bad aim, dude. Like, bad. Our flesh is not going to win, all right? But what does win is a renewed mind, period. So there needs to be a fundamental shift to take place. We've got to see the world differently. We got to see people different. We got to see how God sees it, especially what's possible with a kingdom perspective. We have to, okay? So I've got 3 steps that we're going to take this morning. 3 steps, all right? Now, these aren't steps that you're going to just find necessarily in the Word of God. They are in the Word of God, but not in the way I'm saying them, all right? So first step is a grace step, okay? It's a grace step. Now, some of us are like, oh, I'm familiar with grace. Yeah, grace. I need to show people grace. No. That's great. I'm glad that you need to show people grace. You need to. I'm actually wanting you to take a grace step for yourself. You need to know grace. You need to understand grace, to stop beating yourself up, to actually have a grace step. That is, it's fluid, it's natural, it's something that takes time. To have a renewed mind is to have a grace step in your own life, to have grace of understanding. We need to know that we're saved. We believers, we're saved. Okay, and I say it a lot because I need you to just center in on that. Center in on that knowing that you are saved. Period. That's it. You are saved. This new birth, it's radical. It's complete. It is 100% complete. It's permanent. And here's where grace comes in. Our spirit is growing. There it is. There's grace. Our spirit, man, is growing. We're growing. We're growing in knowledge, we're growing in grace, we're growing in faith and in power. Do you guys know there's no such thing as more perfect or more righteous? No such thing. That's like saying, I'm going to give it 110%. You can only give it 100%. Ron Swanson. All right? You can only give it 100%. You can't give it 110%. It's not possible. In the same way, you can't be more perfect and you can't be more righteous. It's done. It's done. You are saved. God sees you through the eyes of Jesus Christ. So you need to see yourself in that same manner to go, grace. I've got a grace step in my life. Stop beating yourself up. What happens? The enemy uses it against you. You're going to mess up. You're going to still have stinking thinking. And then out of nowhere, you begin to regress. Because of that mistake or because of those moments and you feel that guilt and that shame, you begin to say, I'm never going to be good at this whole Christian thing. I don't even know how it's possible. You need to stop. You need to stop and have some grace. So in Ephesians chapter 2, verses 4 through 10, but because of his great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ, even when we were dead in transgressions. It is by grace you have been saved, and God raised us up with Christ and seated us with him in the heavenly realms in Christ Jesus, in order that in the coming ages he might show the incomparable riches of his grace expressed in his kindness to us in Christ Jesus. For it is by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not from yourselves. It is the gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast, for we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. When you hinder yourself with your stinking thinking, when you don't give yourself grace in the moment of like, I messed up, give yourself some grace and go, hey, you know what? God's given me this grace. I need to realize, hey, I messed up. Do what's necessary, repent, ask for forgiveness, move forward, meaning ask for forgiveness. If you've hurt somebody, some brother, sister in Christ, you need to say, hey, I messed up, I'm sorry. I messed up a few weeks ago and I had to say it. And it happens. I shouldn't have done it. I was so dumb. I had a friend and I shouldn't have said anything. I should have just been quiet. Instead, I opened my big mouth. And then finally I was like, I'm sorry. This was so dumb of me. It happens. And you give yourself grace and you move on. You say, God, how do I learn from this moment? How do I achieve a position where I can remember not to do this again, right? To say, God, how do I get to this place to stop myself beforehand? And so we're going to get there in a second. But when I think about these good works that he has for us, he's created us good works. I don't want my stinking thinking to stop me from the good works, because he's got these for me. So I know the good works that are before me. So I've got to renew my mind so that nothing hinders me from it. So when I was in Brazil a few years ago for a missions trip, my translator, he did not sound like he was from Brazil, but he was born and raised in Brazil, spoke obviously fluent Portuguese, but he also spoke fluent English. But he sounded just like me when he spoke. And I was like, dude, I'm impressed, man. And I said, I'll never be able to speak Portuguese. That's what I told him. I said, I'll never be able to. And I said, man, I just don't get it. And he says, well, here's an interesting fact. He said, one day I woke up and I realized I have everything in me to speak English. And I thought, what? He goes, I have a tongue. I have a mouth. I have vocal cords. I have a brain. He said, I have everything I need to speak English. And so when I realized that, everything shifted. I began to learn English. I began to speak it. It took time, but I began to speak it. And I think for me, so often, my own example here is that I will dam up the potential of God's good work plan for me, my stinking thinking, because I'll say words like, I can't, it's not possible, what in the world, how does that, those people are doing this, I can't do it. And before you know it, I'm not doing it. When I do have everything in me, do you guys know that you have everything in you to speak every language in this whole world? Every one of you. But we'll say, no, I'm too dumb. In West Virginia, we have a saying, this may offend you, but don't get offended. I'm from West Virginia. I'm allowed to say these things. But you can take a girl out of the trailer park, but you can't take the trailer out of the girl. Now, some of you are like, wow, wow, I can't believe you just said that. But that's exactly what I'm talking about. This idea of like, that's just who I am. You don't know me. You don't know my experiences. You don't know what I've gone through. The problem with this is that God does know all of these things. God does know who you are, but he knows who you truly are. It's not the trailer park. It's not, oh, I'm from North Carolina. I'm from Idaho. I'm from Seattle. I'm from wherever. You can start saying all of these cultural differences, but those are flesh in essence. That's not a renewed mindset. You guys are heirs to heaven. You guys are daughters and sons of the Lord Most High, and you should be kingdom-minded. 1 John 5:13, I write these things to you who believe in the name of the Son of God so that you may know that you have eternal life. Eternal life is a residency in heaven. That's just another way of saying eternal life. You have residence in heaven. You're going to have a passport someday. I'm making this up, by the way. You're going to have a passport someday where you go up to the gates of heaven, and they're going to go, oh, the big cherubim that are right there in front of the gates, they're going to see your passport, and they're going to go, come on in. You're going to walk in, and you are an established resident in heaven for eternity. So this is where we miss it. We think right now matters. Now is just a blip on the timeline of our lives. Eternally speaking, we're in heaven. It's not about where you've been or who you were. It's about where you're going and what God's done in your life, period. That's it. And these grace steps that I want you to take, they should be conscious steps. They need to be conscious steps in being aware of misalignment to God's word. And it's making those changes that are necessary to see your life through the eyes of Christ. That's the grace steps I want you to take. So if you walk away today, the one concept of this step is to just go, you know what? I'm forgiven. And I'm not going to have it perfect every time. But you know what? It's okay. It's okay. God's working with me. And I'm not going to let go of God working with me. And I'm going to seize the oddities of what he may tell me to do. I'm going to seize the moments of being obedient to say, you know what? I'm going to be obedient because I know he's got a good work prepared for me. Second step. It's a willing step. You're willing. It's a willing step. When you're born again, our minds still contain those memories, those patterns, you know, of thinking, of feelings. And the soul really requires a transformation. And it must be changed to reflect that true condition that the believer has achieved through faith in Christ. We need to see that soul change, that turnaround, the 180. And some of you may have experienced that because you may have an old life, you know, before Christ. And people who you've encountered after, before Christ, these people that you know, and then when they encounter you after this, then they'll go, there's something different about you. And you go, yeah, there really is. I took a willing step to change things. I took a conscious step to say, I want this to be changed. And I began to see my life through the lens of Christ, and then I realized that's not good. That's not favorable. This is not profitable. And I'm changing these things. You're going to see some instantaneous changes immediately. When you become a believer, the mind changes subtly, but there's going to be also instantaneous where it's like, boom, and you go, man, I'm a new creation in Christ Jesus, and all things have been made new, and that's exciting. But there's also going to be a process of transformation that occurs over the believer's lifetime. And that's why I say the grace step is important, and in coexisting with the willing step of saying, now I want to change these things. So in 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 5, he actually gives us a great first step in renewing our mind, which is we demolish arguments and every pretension that sets itself up against the knowledge of God, and we take captive every thought to make it obedient to Christ. So when these thoughts arise in your head, you don't dwell on those things. All right? You don't sit there and think, oh, yeah, and you start daydreaming. You stop it. You say, oh, no, no, no. I'm not having that type of thought. I'm not going to do those types of things. I'm not going to allow all of this assumption to take place. All of these moments of allowing the emotional allergies to arise inside of you, anger and resentment. And yesterday, I was a lot of traffic on the road, and I'm driving, and this trailer was in front of me, and I thought, I'll get around this. And then when I got around it, obviously, I was made aware there was a lot more traffic in front of this trailer, and I was like, oh, great, and I need to be in this lane in front of this guy now. So guess what I had to do? I put on my blinker, and I shamefully got in front of the car I just passed, the one car, right? And I could see him in the rearview mirror. And I was like, I know, dude, I messed up. You know, but you could tell it. He was not going to let it go. He goes around me and looks at me. My middle name is Ham. And so back in West Virginia, they call me Hammy. North Carolina, you don't call me Hammy. So my license plate said Hammy. And so I remember being in traffic one time, and there was this lady that was behind me early morning, and it was packed out. Charleston, West Virginia does not have the greatest roads, and so we were stuck, bumper to bumper. And so this woman behind me, I could see her in my rearview mirror just getting so angry about everything. She was looking everywhere, trying to figure out a way she could get around. I'm like, dude, there's no getting around anything unless you want to take the median route, you know. So I was like, not going to happen. I'm just kind of like, so all of a sudden, she's just getting angry. She's pounding her steering wheel. She's just beating it. And I was like, oh, my heavens, you know. And then all of a sudden, I started watching her lips and the obscenities that were coming out of her lips. But it was not just the obscenity. It was also Hammy. She was saying bad words and then Hammy. And I was like, I haven't done anything. But you could tell she was so tired of seeing my name that she was just like, Hammy. And it's funny how the flesh and these moments that the flesh, because I could have easily looked at that guy yesterday and been like, you know, I could have told him, I could have done all kinds of things. But that's, again, taking hold of your flesh and saying, no, I'm not going to think this way. You know, I'm just going to forgive myself because I messed up. I'm sorry, man. And I'm like, whatever. He's shaking his head at me in disapproval. It's not my fault. Things happen. It happens. It's okay. We don't dwell on it. We can dwell on things. Man, can we dwell on things. Oh, if we wish, if we would have, could have, should have. And those dwelling moments will really hinder us from that growth. That willing step to say, I'm going to change. We have to take these willing steps. James chapter 1, verses 19 through 22. My dear brothers and sisters, take note of this. Everyone should be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry, because human anger does not produce the righteousness that God desires. Therefore, get rid of all moral filth and the evil that is so prevalent, and humbly accept the word planted in you, which can save you. Do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves. Do what it says. The willing step to say, I want to find out what the Word of God says, not just based upon my experience, based upon my cultural upbringing of what I think. No, it's stopping and saying, I want to know what God has to say about this, and I'm willing to change it now. I'm willing to take an effort to take the willing step in the right direction so that I can see the favor of God upon my life, to operate in His anointing. And that's why in James chapter 1, it comes out more alive than ever that count it all joy when you see tests and trials and all of these sorts of things. Because if you have a renewed mind, you can count it all joy. You need to begin to understand whether a thought or an urge is coming from your human soul or a born-again spirit. It's critical for us in growing up in God to grow up and to say, I want maturity. We need to know what those thoughts are, those urges. Are they from our human soul or are they from our spirit man? In 2 Peter chapter 2, verses 1 through 5, therefore, rid yourself of all malice and all deceit, hypocrisy, envy, slander of every kind. Like newborn babies, crave pure spiritual milk so that by it you may grow up in salvation. Now that you have tasted that it is that the Lord is good. As you come to him, the living stone rejected by humans, but chosen by God and precious to him, you also, like living stones, are being built into a spiritual house to be a holy priesthood, offering spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. I want to read verse 2 and 3 again. Like newborn babies, crave pure spiritual milk so that by it you may grow up in your salvation. Know that you have tasted that the Lord is good. When you are willing and you take those necessary steps, you're going to see a growth take place inside of you, a knowing of who you are in Christ Jesus. And you're going to see a change take place. So again, I want you to have a grace step. I want you to have a willing step. And then finally, my last step, it's not contradictory, but I want you to stop taking steps. I want you to rest. I'm talking about the physical steps. The grace steps is supernatural, right? The willing steps, semi-supernatural. But what I want us to do now is stop taking steps. And here's what I mean by that. The journey from where you are to where you want to be, it always seems endless, no matter what. It always seems so frustrating, and giving up could always be a possibility. You feel like you're being strung along by a perfect God trying to make us perfect people. And that perfection can drive someone nuts because you don't always have everything together, and not everything works out. And by no means should you feel sorry for me in any way, shape, or form. I'm just the example that I can give from this pulpit. I can't use you. I would love to use Kayla Oles. If you only knew Kayla Oles. I'm kidding. She's a sweetheart. But if I could use Mike Tice. Let me tell you all about Mike Tice's world. See, I can't use his world. He's still great too, though. I don't know about that Dave DeBlaycourt guy, though. So I'm using my example. Man, this past week, crazy at my house. Past month, let's just go past month. Oh, man. Two flat tires, two. Not one, two. No nails either, just flat tires. Had to get new tires. That wasn't cheap, right? Had to fix a jet ski. That was fun. Top of that, my son, he failed some calculus test, told me that it was too hard for him. And then I had to work through that process with him to tell him it wasn't too hard. Had my other son want to tell me about how this other thing was really hard and it was too hard to make an A in this class. And it's like, no, it's never too hard to make an A. So I'm fighting my teenagers about things. My refrigerator blows up on us this past week. Refrigerator blows up. Blows up. Refrigerator blows up. You're like, how does that happen? I don't know. I actually had to Google it. Refrigerator works, right? Still cold. But for some reason, it smells like fish now. Some of you are like, that's because you've left something in there. No, we took it all out, cleaned it all out. So then Google, praise God for Google. Googled, fish smell in refrigerator. No jokes, a real thing. There's some bad wire that goes bad in the condensing unit, yet still produces cold air, but there's nothing draining the water from the refrigerator causing a fish mildewy smell in your refrigerator. So we go to Lowe's, right? We go to Lowe's. My wife says to me, don't get mad at her. She says, I'm not buying just a refrigerator. I refuse to have that kitchen. So I didn't know what that meant. She goes, oh, I'm buying the refrigerator, the range, and the dishwasher, because I hate our dishwasher as well. And I was like, holy smokes, Batman. Right? All of the things. You start thinking, I told you about a few weeks ago, I messed up with a friend and I had to apologize. All of these things weigh on your head spiritually. You know, you think, God, why is this stuff happening? Why is this taking place? You start putting human experience to this. You start putting your own thought of why are these things happening? You know, why? And some people, unfortunately, they have a skewed perspective to think that God's against them and God's doing this to you. And that's not what the Word of God says. A thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy, but God came to give us life, life in abundance. And life in abundance does not include a fish-smelling refrigerator. So I think about these things, and I know many of us have those same frustrations. God has promised us for days that we can come to Him. He says it, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." Do you know what the Greek word for rest is? Anapao. Okay? You know what it means? It means to cease from movement. Rest. To cease from movement. Because you know another... I have children, you know? And so when they're moving, they're loud. It's like a train. Like they don't stop. But in order for them to stop talking, I have to tell them to what? Be still. Sit on this couch and don't move. And when they stop moving, then for some, this stops too. It's like this is connected to this somehow. I'm like, stop. So when I read this, "Come unto me, all you that labor and heavy laden, and I will give you rest." The Greek word for that rest means to cease, to stop moving, to be quiet. Let your mind stop. Stop what, you may ask? The roller coaster ride it's been on. The constant trying to figure it out. God remains in control of your future. He really does. You need to allow expectation, God expectation, to rise in your spirit. No more life on a roller coaster. Because why? Because God is faithful to you in all things. Psalm 19:14. "May these words of my mouth and this meditation of my heart be pleasing in your sight, Lord, my rock and my redeemer." One more time. Psalm 19:14. "May these words of my mouth and this meditation of my heart be pleasing in your sight, Lord." This is a verse about resting. Lord, I pray that in my heart, it is pleasing to you, and the words that I'm speaking are pleasing to you, that these align. If your thoughts are fixed on God, on His word, and you trust Him with your problems, you will have a real inner peace. And sometimes it's going to take a grace step, a willing step, and a stop stepping moment for you to say, "God, what do you have for me? God, what is best for me? God, what do you have? Because my thinking's not aligned correctly, and I want it to be aligned with you. I want to have a real inner peace." Romans 8, 5 through 6. "Those who live according to the flesh have their mind set on what the flesh desires. But those who live in accordance with the Spirit have their mind set on what the Spirit desires. The mind governed by the flesh is death, but the mind governed by the Spirit is life and peace." God has something for all of you. He's made a good work in advance for you. And there's going to be things that are going to come your way. Roadblocks, Jericho walls, stinking thinking. And no, you're not going to be perfect. And there'll be moments that you wish you coulda, shoulda, woulda. Man, I wish I wouldn't have done that. Learn from those moments. Have those grace moments. Be willing to take the necessary steps according to God's word to align yourself with the way He sees you. And then take those moments of rest. God, I feel crazy right now. I feel so overwhelmed with what's going on in this world. Oh, I need you. God, show me what I need to do. Lord, lift me in these moments. It's one of the best things you can do. Let's pray. God, I thank you, Lord, that you tell us that you are for us. You're not against us. Lord, I thank you that as you have renewed our minds, Lord, that we have been, are being set free from this world. God, I thank you right now, Lord. You have blessed us. You are continuing to protect us. You are watching over us. God, I thank you, Lord, that any type of thinking that we have, Lord, that does not please you, God, that you show us so that we can correct it. God, that we can, Lord, that we can fix, Lord, our trajectory so that, God, that we don't miss, Lord, any opportunity that's laid before us because we don't feel like we're good enough. God, I thank you, Lord, that no object, Lord, no earthly thing will block our view of you. Lord, we thank you for this. Lord, we honor you this morning. With every head bowed and eye closed, I ask the question, do you know him? Do you know Jesus? Have you made him your Lord and personal Savior? We named ourselves Trailhead because we believe your journey begins here at the Trailhead. That you can become all that God has ever created for you right here in this moment. That in these moments to say, I'm tired of running the rat race of life and I want to pick up the mantle of Jesus Christ and do it his way. That when you do that, you can have purpose. Otherwise, you're just aimlessly walking. You're just in a void. And who knows what's possible? But with Christ, all things are possible. So I encourage you, if you don't know him and you want to know him, when I count to three, I'd love for you to raise your hand because I want to pray with you. Don't be ashamed, but I really would love for you to make that agreement today, to make that commitment today, that this is the day the Lord has made and I shall rejoice because I know who I am in Christ Jesus. If that's you, please raise your hand. One, two, three. Thank you. Thank you, thank you, thank you. I want everyone to stand to their feet right now. Come on, everyone stand up. I want you guys to sing. And as we sing, I want us to just renew our minds in this place. I believe you're going to sing my song, right? This is my song. I didn't write it, but this is my song. We had a night with the worship team a month or so ago, and they asked me, they said, what's your song, Pastor Josh? And I said, this song, and I told them. And this is why, because it's one of these types of songs that just puts us in perspective of what it's all about. So as we here this morning begin to sing this song, I want you just to encounter God right where you are. And if you raise your hand and you want to receive Jesus as your Lord and personal Savior, then I'd love to pray with you right now. But for the next few minutes, let's just worship him. So let's do it.
And all I need is you.
Someone once asked me, they said, hey, how do I witness to somebody that I work with? Or how do I lead someone to Christ? There's a lot of different perspectives or a particular clear, there's not a particular clear method, but it's just praying with somebody just to say, hey, declare right now that Jesus is your Lord and personal Savior. Declare that today is the day that you're going to begin to follow Him and that all things are going to change. But truth be told, some of us get a little nervous about the idea of sharing our faith. I guarantee you that if you choose to live the transformed life, where you choose to have a renewed mind, that in itself, when you encounter people everywhere you go, they will notice that there's something different about you, and you will have the opportunity to just be yourself in Christ. And those individuals will say, man, I want to be a part of this. What makes you tick? What makes you have that joy? That's why it's so important as Christians that we live the transformed life, a renewed mind. I know this seems maybe a little weird to say, but I believe that the reason why there's empty seats in churches all across our county and across the United States is because we aren't living a transformed life outside of this hour and a half that we're together. Be separate from this world. Show a difference of a transformed life out there. Make that happen this week. And I assure you, people will start coming in, not based upon a card or based upon an event. Oh, we're having this great event. We're having soup. Everyone come out. We're giving everyone some Brunswick stew. I mean, don't get me wrong. I love it. That's not going to get somebody to Christ. It's going to get somebody to Christ is you living Christ-like. And that changes your perspective of understanding when Jesus says, I'm going to make you a fisher of men. Because when you start going places and people start saying, hey, I need silver and gold. And you say, silver and gold, I have none. But what I do have. The question is, do you have that? That's important. All right, everyone can have a seat. Have a seat. Hang out for a second. Pastor Dave is closing service. That was you, one?
Yep. All right, guys. I know we've got a transition to make here with the next service, but I want to share just two quick things. First, you heard about our Thanksgiving basket outreach. Our lists and all that are ready, so you can pick up one of those lists in the lobby, or you can just go to trailhead.church/Thanksgiving, and you can find out all the details there as well, or in the app, all those places. I really encourage you to be praying about that and thinking about what you want to do. We want to do more than ever this year. We've been very focused on serving our community this year. We've got our new outreach space, The Bridge. So we've set a goal of more than we've ever done before. We're going to be expanding the community. We usually work with just the schools. We're going to be reaching beyond that. We're going to be doing some of that even at this Trunk or Treat event. We're going to be reaching out to new families to see who else has needs. So I encourage you to be a part of that. Take a step and be a part of that outreach as well. The second thing I want to talk about, it is Pastor Appreciation Month, and we want to honor our pastors. You know, what we usually do with this is our pastors have a lot on their minds. They're very busy physically, but they also have a lot happening in their mind because they're thinking about serving our church community. That's very important to them. It's you know, what they're called to do. And the verse that I wanted to share with you about that is, and Pastor Josh talks about this all the time because it's very important to him, 1 Corinthians 11:1 says, follow my example as I follow Christ's example. And what I think is awesome about our pastors is that they take that seriously. They take every part of that seriously. So when you get a little bit of that twisted and you only pick one part, maybe you pick that I'm going to follow Christ's example, but I'm not worried about you or what you see. Or you pick, follow me, but I'm not so focused on whether I'm going to follow Christ. You know, they're very keen on making sure that both of those things are there, and that's for our sake. And so they take a lot of time in thinking, how can I show the church how to follow Christ? And that takes a lot of effort. There's a lot of different people in this room, and we have a lot of different perspectives, a lot of different preferences, and so that all comes back to the head. And so what we want to do is just give them some rest. That's always what we want to do with Pastor Appreciation. Just give them a moment of rest. So we're not going to tell them how they could do it. Maybe they'll go to a Duke basketball game. And some of you are like, well, I'm not going to support that. So or maybe they'll take a night away, whatever they want to do. But if you would like to give toward that, if you want to give cash or check, you can just mark Pastor Appreciation. You can also choose that online. And I also just encourage you to be thinking and praying about whether it's sending a card, a letter, a message, whatever it is, however you can choose to honor them. I encourage you to be thinking about that over the next couple weeks. And then when Pastor Josh and Anna are back, the first week of November, we'll honor them. So I encourage you to think about that. With that said, you guys are dismissed. We love you all. Have a great week.